now.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 10. 10 episodes so far of the BFG Podcast.
Which is really impressive just in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing it like bi-weekly, time passes faster than I thought it would. Because I know we're only 10 episodes in, but that, you know, we've been doing this for what, like 4 or 5 months already?
Yeah, I think there was only one time we didn't do it bi-weekly because you guys were out of town in Ohio. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, that was 3 weeks in between, and then every other time was bi-weekly, so...
And considering how inconsistent we are...
Exactly.
I think it's the biggest achievement here is that we actually were disciplined enough with ourselves to actually get together and do this.
Absolutely. This is something. This is something.
But, and it's a testament to how much we're actually enjoying it.
That's very true.
We're not just phoning this in because we're actually still doing it.
Yes. And, well, speaking of enjoying it, I think with today's topics that we're going to have a pretty big show today.
Yeah, no, today's going to be a good one to...
Yeah, so just to really start out to, you know, I always like to read them off. Henry Cavill, whatever you want to call him.
Wait. What's going on with you this week,
Mike? You know, what is going on with me this week? I'm so excited to jump right into things. We got a lot to talk about. Holy crap, we got 2 pages worth. What's going on with me this week? Well, it's a small moment for me that I, you know, it's a small moments like these. Everybody that knows me outside of video games and Power Rangers, Jerry Muzzy, they know I'm a big Bills fan, obviously, by what I wear. And so actually, I go to a bar, which I'll be there today after we're done filming. And I'll be actually I don't own the restaurant, but I am a president, if you will, of the Bills Backers Club of Jacksonville now. So, you know, I get to have, like, say what's going on and whatnot. I get to get in contact with the team, see if they have anything that they can send to us, stuff like that. So to me, that's really cool. Is, you know, and nobody asked for it. You know, they just pulled me aside and said, hey, do you want to do this? And I said, well, hell yeah, I do.
And all two of you are very excited.
All two of us. Well, I mean, going later. No, look, let's be fair. During the beginning of the season, you know, it's a packed bar. You've been there a few times. You know, we are packed. And then when the Bills become the Bills and they start losing consistently, then it gets down to all two of us, especially in the later half of the season. So we'll be fair with that one. Other than that, you know, we're going to talk about one of the games that we both played. You platinum, I just beat it. I've been playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider, working on some things for my personal business. I will be at Tampa Bay MegaCon next Saturday, actually. I get to go meet my man Crush and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Hopefully he doesn't call out, knock on glass, wood, wherever it is. And that's really about all that's going on my end. Very, very, you know, a little bit of a different week this week. Normally I come out and say, hey, you know, nothing new, but a couple interesting things that I can finally talk about. But I know you probably got a lot to say. Or are you going to be like me now and not have anything?
I mean, mostly, like you were saying, we got a video game to talk about that has mostly just consumed my life the last week.
Yes.
It's like all I've done. And we're getting ready to move. We're going to be changing studios probably in a few weeks.
Yes.
So you guys will get a change of scenery over the next month or two if you watch us. If you're listening, hopefully it'll sound the same or better.
Yes, absolutely.
But as far as the people that watch us on YouTube, we are going to be changing our studio up a little bit as Haven and I are transitioning between places. So I don't know if you get you. I hope you can't see it in the video. I tried to make it so you can't see anything, but there's a lot of disarray. It's really crowded. It was crowded before, and now it's even more crowded in here.
And
there's a lot going on.
And as I've said, and we talked about this right before we started filming, I am so happy to be out of this claustrophobic room.
Yeah.
It was tough this summer, but we did it.
I mean, I've always been like a big PC gamer, and you know, so much that I went and like I built my desk with the computers inside the desk, and you know, all this, I made this huge project out of it, and then we moved into the apartment, and I'm actually not in here that much. Mm-hmm. You know, I come in here once in a while, like if I get in a kick for one of my computer games, or when we're recording and stuff like that. But generally, I've been doing a lot of console gaming over the last year while we've been in the apartment, just because this room is so small that it's just, it does. After an hour or two, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I start feeling like packed into this room. And so I think I'm really excited to get into a bigger space, like into an actual house where I'll have a little bit more room to work with my computers and kind of get back into my hobby, because this room is just not real, not very inviting for like my kind of like giant PC setup.
And then you have two of us trying to sit here and record for an hour and a half. So
yeah.
That's always fun.
And
man.
I'm gonna be unbuilding the desk. The desk, and I think I mentioned this last time.
Yes.
But the desk is gonna be gone. So that'll save some space too. Because as much as I loved it and as much as I'm proud of this project, it's just, it's not a good piece to like work inside. It's hard to like do things with the computers. And it's also just massive. It's a hard piece to like find a happy home for. So I think there's a few different reasons why, as much as I love this, it needs to go away. So I think I loved it, but I'm really excited to kind of get them back in regular computer cases and start like toying with them again. Because I've been kind of getting that itch to like build a new system or like upgrade mine or something. So I am really excited for that, to get the computers back in their regular cases so I can start playing with them again.
It's going to look good when it's all said and done. You know, I know you guys are going to go to another home for a little bit just as you guys get settled and then go from there. But
yeah,
it's going to look good. It's going to look good. So we've got a lot to talk about today.
Yes.
We do have a lot to talk about. So we're going to start with some movies and then we'll get to the video game stuff. So Henry Cavill, people know him as Superman, Man of Steel. Supposedly, you know, not supposedly on this one, but he did take the role or did accept the role of The Witcher 3. What's the character's name?
Geralt.
Geralt. He's going to be the main character. But now it's come out that he is out. He is done with the DC Universe. So for the next Justice League movie, we could have a whole new Batman and a whole new Superman.
See, there's a whole lot of weirdness surrounding this right
there
now.
Is.
My understanding, reading the articles and reading some of the things that like Henry Cavill and the DC reps have said, it was just very much kind of like a standard like mutual thing. Like,
yes.
Scheduling conflicts and starting to record for The Witcher and stuff like that, it wasn't working out. And so they decided to part ways. And DC kind of said something along the lines of, you know, we have to swap up Superman every few movies anyway to keep them kind of like, you know, young and fit and fresh. They do kind of like a James Bond thing where every few years they kind of like revamp their Superman. And so I just kind of took it at face value. And I was like, oh, this is just kind of a standard like mutual thing. There were no hurt feelings. There was no like bad blood or anything. It just, one of those things that happened. And DC was like, it's cool because we get a new Superman. And Henry Cavill was like, it's cool because I'm moving on to other projects and stuff like that. And it was you, wasn't it? Wasn't it you that started sending me stuff on Facebook saying, like, this is weird? And I guess, like, Mike had sent me an article basically saying that it was kind of like almost a feud. Maybe not at, like, full-on celebrity feud level, but kind of like there was some bad blood there, and he had kind of, like, ditched them and had bailed out of a cameo for
Shazam
and stuff like that. And they were saying that they thought it was all some sort of, like, big publicity stunt.
They were, because supposedly, and this is not a true or false or true thing or false thing, this is what supposedly was supposed to happen in the Shazam cameo, which hopefully is not a spoiler if they get, which I don't think they can cast another Superman this quick and get him in there. I
mean, they were talking about Michael B. Jordan, and I'm like,
they were.
I'd be cool with that.
That'd be
a lot of fun.
But the cameo that was supposed to be in Shazam was pretty much near the end of the movie. You would see Superman go up to Billy and be like, just letting you know, kid, we're going to keep an eye on you. And that was going to be it, you know, for the next Justice League or the next team up, whatever it may be. So, but then you come to find out, you know, of course, you know, they said, hey, they split, it's a feud. And then a few days ago, probably Thursday or Friday before we filmed this, Henry came out and said, you know, I'm more than willing to come back as Superman. And I got to be honest, you know, the Superman movies weren't great. He was not, I mean, Henry did fine as the actor.
Yeah, I think he's a really good Superman.
He is. He just didn't have a movie to work with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they put him in Justice League, which if you haven't seen that train wreck by now, you would know that it was pretty much...
Justice League was not that bad.
It was better than Batman v Superman, but we can have that discussion on screen. So we got a lot to talk about as it is. So, you know, he was, you know, in Justice League, he came in and it, like I've said before, that it made you not care about the other members of the JLA. You know, it was just, oh my God, we need Superman. Superman was revived and he walked through Steppenwolf and that was it. So I like Henry. I think he looks like a good Superman. I think he looks like a good Clark Kent. I would like to see some continuity, especially if it's your top guys. You know, you got to think of it as like Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Those are DC. Those are your top three. And already you're getting, you know, two of the top three out of there.
Mm-hmm.
you've got Gal Gadot, who did outstanding as Wonder Woman, but people are still upset because of how small she is. And then, you know, moving on a little bit, like Michael B. Jordan, you know, they thought of him as Superman. I already could see some people getting upset because of a race thing, but obviously I think he would do great. Mm-hmm. But then it also comes out
Which,
now that...
they're saying the same thing about Witcher, too.
They
are. Interestingly, now that Henry Cavill has moved on to a new property, there's like a weird thing where if for Ciri in The Witcher... The casting call called for, I think the exact words were like a non-white female.
Exactly.
Or something like that. And, which is weird, because in the novels and the original Witcher stories, which the series is based on, they're very vague about it.
Mm-hmm.
And even the writer, Andrzej Sapkowski, has mentioned like, It's supposed to be a diverse culture that she comes from. Like, it's very, like, multicultural and international. Like, there isn't, you know, like, one type of character that she's supposed to be based on the way I wrote her. And people are still upset about it because the only people really commenting about The Witcher right now are angry video game nerds.
Of course.
And they're trying to call foul because they think that if they're casting a non-white female... that it's not going to look like the one from the video games that they love, which it's totally not, but like, who cares? Like,
it's, I mean, they can change these things around all they want. I mean, people at first, when Miles Morales was announced as Spider-Man and he's an African-American, people lost their shit. And we'll get into that in a little bit because of the video game review that we got to do later. But I would be just fine seeing a different take on Superman. You know, I always don't mind them changing around, like, what the character looks like, but you got to stay true to the character. I mean, there were some things that movies and TV shows have done differently. You know, for example, I know, Ty, you might know a little bit about this from the beginning, but not now, is the only TV show that I watch nowadays is Walking Dead. That's it. My favorite character is Carol, like, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Carol in the comics is a piece of shit. You know, this is a long time ago spoiler because this was back when season 2 would have happened, season 2 or season 3. She actually died in the governor area. She like lost her mind and walked right into a horde of walkers.
Yeah.
She's still alive in the show to this day, and she's a badass, and that's why I love her. So it's okay to do something like that, change around some aspects of a character, and it's okay to change, you know, from a white male to an African-American. Michael B. Jordan, I think, would be a very different Superman, but I think it can work. But, you know, I can see where people get upset, you know, from the Witcher side. I can see where people love it from this side. But I think for me, at the end of the day, it's one of those things. It's like you have three of your top guys in one movie. Keep them the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're dealing with, you know, they do have a DCU TV series. So already now you got like two different Flashes and whatnot.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see the TV Flash jump to the big screen. But what if they bring in the Arrow? Is Steve
Harvey?
No, it wasn't Steve. Shut up! Whatever the actor, Stephen Amell, I believe his name is, who does Arrow in the TV show, is he going to be Arrow in the movies? Keep the continuity.
I would super love to see Steve Harvey as the Arrow.
I would enjoy that too.
That would make me so happy.
That would be funny. But, you know, I think for something like Marvel, who keeps their Netflix shows and those shows separate from the movies, if they could do something like that, could they have something with Jessica Jones, but having the same Jessica Jones come in, having the same Daredevil come in, because that's how you get to learn these characters.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the only reason why we're going to have a different...
Plus, they're so good.
They are. They really are.
People aren't digging Iron Fist as much.
That's okay.
But the Netflix Marvel shows are so
absolutely
good.
And the only reason why we're going to have, you know, later on, a different Iron Man and a different Captain America is because things are going to get rebooted. But this is also 10 plus years down the line that this is going on. This isn't just a couple, two movies from Superman, one movie from Superman, and then, you know, JLA, and then Batman v Superman, okay, times two. They're still building that universe. You know, they are continuing for the Marvel after they finish Infinity War this coming May, or April if they boost it up a week. But after that, they can be like, okay, here's the first big one that's done. Let's introduce a new line of heroes, which is why Captain Marvel is coming. Spider-Man could play a bigger role. Thor, I think, is still going to be there. I don't think he's going to leave just yet.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I personally like Henry. I like Michael B. Jordan. We'll see what goes on with that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my thoughts. I don't know if you have anything else, but I'm really interested in talking about this next topic. Because you and I, we can actually fight about this one, I think.
Okay.
All right.
No, I think we covered what I want to cover.
All right, so the next one, going from DC to Marvel, there's a movie coming out next month, Tyler. It's called Venom.
Yes.
I don't know if you know who Venom is, but he's a symbiote, because they couldn't even get it right in the freaking trailer.
Symbiote.
For Spider-Man. And it, just a quick backstory on this.
I like to picture that, like,
oh boy.
I feel like he comes from, like, some sort of Georgia swamp, and that's just kind of, like, how he talks, you know?
Probably. Probably.
Like, howdy, y'all.
Oh, God.
We gotta go get that symbiote.
So anyway, a little quick backstory on how this movie came about is when Marvel and Sony struck a deal to bring Spider-Man into the MCU, Sony got to make a few Marvel movies of their own. You know, they're making this one, they're making Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. And I'm not 100% sure, but I would like to say the new Spider-Man game for PS4 was also a part of the deal, since it's only on a Sony system right now. You know, Insomniac is, you know, can make games for everybody, but with it being just on PlayStation, I think that
in which part of it. They used to be PlayStation exclusive.
Yes.
But then they came over and did Sunset Overdrive. And I thought that was maybe like their kind of like a coming out thing, where they were like, we're going to start making consoles for everybody, or games for everybody. But then this one was announced as an exclusive again. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm curious to see what their game plan is, making exclusives for Sony, but then also making exclusives for Xbox.
Well, we'll see, because they're not bought by anybody, so they can technically do what they need to do. But for Venom coming out, a couple things were announced for it that I think we're talking about. Sorry, Deadpool fans. It's not going to be rated R. It came out. It's going to have a PG-13 rating, which I'm kind of back and forth
real
about.
Quick.
Yes.
I know you like to approach the topics one at a time.
Yes.
But if you're watching this, I need you to see something. And if you're not watching, I need you to log in and watch for just this moment. Because I need you to see right here what Mike has written.
See, this is the Venom, professionalism.
Venom is rated PG-13.
Yeah, I can't spell. I'm writing fast.
Venom rated PG-13.
PG-13. So that's professionalism right here. So we actually know what we're talking about.
Not parental guidance 13.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say. I'm not going to try it.
Banana guidance.
Banana guidance.
13.
So, getting off track again, Tyler. Stop making fun of my... You know, from now on, when we do the show, I'm not even going to tell you what topics I have written down. I'm just going to kind of keep it like this. Anyway, Venom is rated PG-13, which already off the bat for me, I think is going to kind of be a little eh, because Venom is supposed to be one of those harsher end type of movies. And with it not being physically in the MCU, I think it could have had an R rating.
Oh, it definitely could have.
It definitely, definitely could have. Especially for some of the scenes we've already seen in the trailer. How he looks, what he does, how he talks. And supposedly, and of course, you know, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. Tom Holland. Yeah, I know. Tom Holland might make a cameo. We never know. But Venom, to me, was one of those characters that, even though when I was young, you know, I always watched Fox on Fox. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a lot of the Marvel stuff. You know, they own most of it. And I remember watching Spider-Man, and I remember the first one, I believe, was against the Green Goblin. And then the second part, he was against Venom. And I remember Venom just being this very menacing character, and I loved it in the cartoon. And I don't know how a standalone Venom can work. Are they also going to bring Carnage in there? Is Eddie Brock, you know, what's going on with all this? You know, could Flash be in there? Not Flash from DCU, but, you know, Flash, I can't remember his last name, Flash from Spider-Man.
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon, thank you.
No.
Could he be in there? No.
No, not Flash Gordon.
Not Flash Gordon. I don't know, Flash, whatever his name is.
And you agreed with me, too.
I can't remember his last name right now, so if anything, I'm going to agree with you on everything. Look, we got an hour before I got to get out of here. So, I don't know how they could do a standalone Venom. Of course, Tyler and I are going to go see it, because, you know, why not? But
I'm excited.
I'm indifferent, you know? I'm approaching this as a Marvel fan, but I'm approaching this as I'd much rather see him as a Spider-Man villain first and then maybe getting a movie later type of deal. I don't know. But, you know, we'll see how they could do with that one. Just having a PG-13 rating, you know, that's about average for most of the Marvel movies. Maybe there's going to be, like, an extended cut where it could have had that R rating or direct-to-DVD Blu-ray deal. I don't know. I mean, I'm going in that is very indifferent. But there's another part that we could talk about it with, too, that you might like. Unless you have something you want to add, of course.
Not necessarily.
So, this one you may like. The second part of this, it came out again recently, which I think this is going to be a good show because all this came out within the week, so it's still kind of fresh, is that so far, the pre-sale tickets for Venom are one of the highest grossing for Sony in October, just in general. So I don't know if this is people just like wanting to go see a train wreck, if this is people thinking that, oh, this is another Spider-Man type of movie that's not into the Spider-Verse. Or what? But that kind of was interesting to me to see this is one of the highest grossing movies for October. And then having it be a Marvel, which obviously you slap Marvel on it, it's going to sell. Kind of like, I would say kind of like Star Wars, but the last movie, you know, kind of, I know you enjoyed it, but I think that's kind of interesting to see. And you know what? Maybe just seeing that alone kind of boosts it up a little bit. And I guess at the end of the day, if I were to be super nice with this, is that when Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, was first announced, everyone was like, who the hell is this? Nobody wants to see it. The Guardians that we have in the movie form isn't even the original Guardians from the comic. These are, Guardians of the Galaxy is like a C-rated comic or a C-level comic. So the Guardians that we got must have been like G or under, you know? So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't even the main one. Yeah, you had Yondu and whatnot. But I would say maybe this could be like a Guardians thing. Maybe it'll turn out to be halfway decent. And yeah, you guys know me. I will come on the show and undoubtedly review it and say, you know what? I was wrong. It wasn't bad. It was a lot better than I thought. I'm not going in there thinking this is going to be as bad as Batman v Superman. I want to point that out. But I'm going in there thinking of why do we need a standalone Venom when you could have a full movie and do it right, unlike Spider-Man 3. God, I wish Colby was here. And shout out to you, Colby, freaking jerk. Feel better, by the way, to do something like this, to have a standalone Venom movie later, like do another one with it. And then he could have even done something in like an Avengers type. I don't know. I might be spitballing too much there. But Tyler, I need a drink. Go ahead and say what you said.
No, I think it definitely has a lot more potential to it. And I think they've got the casting there to support it. Because I like Tom Hardy. I think Tom Hardy's a really solid choice. And from what I've seen, he's doing well with the material he's given. I think this is going to live or die on its script.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want this to turn out to be another Fantastic Four thing where it completely bombs and then the director comes out and says, oh, well, if we did my version of it, you know, it would have been great.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't want to believe that. If you're a good director, you can produce something, you know. Tom Hardy, obviously fantastic. So, but when you mention that, I automatically go back and think of the wonderful movie Rampage that we saw. And just long story short with that one, that if they didn't have The Rock and if they didn't have Jeffrey Dean Morgan in it, it just wouldn't have been even halfway decent. And I still am mad to this day that Jeffrey Dean Morgan became a good guy later on. He cannot do a good guy. Just don't do a good guy. If he's out there listening with all of our viewers. I'll meet him next week, so I'll tell him in person. But it's like this. So it's like you got a relatively big name who is used to doing like a villain-esque. He's done Bane, obviously, from Batman many years ago. So he's used to doing a character like this. So it'll be interesting to see if he could take it and really make it his own, to take this kind of B-rated villain and produce it. Is, you know, when you think of Spider-Man, you'll think of, you know, Vulture was one of the first enemies he fought, period. You'll think of Green Goblin, you'll think of Hobgoblin, and then you get to kind of Venom and Carnage. And I really wish Colby was here to help, but I'm sorry, Pierce. He doesn't like going by Colby anymore. Shout out to you, Pierce. But that's just me. I withhold judgment until I see it. This is one of those movies where I don't know if I'm gonna like it, but I'm trying to withhold judgment fully until I see it. We got another movie to say. Well, mainly you, because I refuse to see it because I'm a pussy. Don't bleep that one out. I am a scaredy cat, I should say. I'm not. I like these kind of movies to a term.
You're already like five bad words deep at this point.
I don't think so, but okay. I want you to make a I want you to make a video of me and all the times in this episode that I said bad words that I don't think I did.
Okay.
All right. So we're.
But they're all going to be bleeped. It's just going to be one like minute long video. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know that works for me. Views maybe. You never know. So I refused to see this movie, but Tyler went to go see a movie called The Nun.
The Nun.
The Nun. And I don't know why Tyler went to go see The Nun, but he enjoyed the other movies. So, Tyler, take it away.
So, one thing, and I went to see with my sister-in-law and her husband. And I think we all kind of came to the same conclusion, which was more or less that, it was fine. It worked as, like, a scary movie. If you're just going in for, like, the jump scares and things, it had some really effective, like, jump scares. And the style of it, the story was by James Wan, and this is like his legacy. He does like scary movies. He's right. Been involved with like the Conjuring series and the Saw series. And I think he did some of the Purge stuff. Don't quote me on that, but I think he's been involved in the Purge. Like this is what he does. And you can kind of tell his influence a little bit, but the script did not make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It was like, the first half of the movie was just more involved with scaring you a lot. And then the second half of the movie, they tried to rush a lot of exposition and kind of tell you really quickly what went down. But it's not everything is explained. And some of the stuff that isn't really explained satisfactorily. They just kind of like toss something out there. And the story did not work very well, at least for me. And the jump scares, like I said, some of them were really effective. Some of them were like really cliche. There were a few moments where I was like, I've seen this in just about every horror movie ever. And I mean, it was done fine, but it was also, you know, kind of a stereotype. But I think what bothered me, and kind of, I had this same complaint about The Conjuring 2 a little bit, mm-hmm. not to the same extent, but, in this movie, kind of what got to me was the fact that they overplayed the nun and kind of like the scariness of her, and it stopped being scary because of it.
You just so kind like, of got used to what
yeah, was like
coming.
The first couple of times she shows up, it's kind of like a, you know, that like chill down your spine kind of feeling. And by the end of the movie, it's like, oh, she's back again. You know, it's like, it stops being scary and becomes kind of like an eye-rolling thing, where it's like, okay, we've there seen this is. About a dozen times already. And it's one of those where it kind of, it for me, an effective horror movie kind of tries to keep you on your toes and, like, change up its style and strategy as the movie goes on. There's kind of, like, this essential need in a horror movie to swap up the pattern and change kind of what scares people. Because whenever you start using the same character and the same kind of scare over and over and over, mm-hmm. you become desensitized to it after a little bit. And I feel like I kind of got like that with this one. I feel like I kind of got a little bit fatigued by it. They do another positive thing I can say is, these movies have a really, they're really good about tying themselves into each other. So it kind of, you know, by about the midway point or end of all the spin-offs, they try to explain why they're important to like the core, like Conjuring films. And I do like that. And I think that's, again, I think that's part of kind of like James Wan's doing, because he wrote the Saw movies the exact same way. There was always a twist in the Saw movies where they tie it back into like a previous victim or a, you know, a previous killer or something like that. And explain how all of these, you know, endless Saw movies fit together into one like shared experience. And they do the same thing in the Conjuring movies. And I feel like that's a really cool thing, how they always tie them in together. But I feel like it didn't really work for me as far as a standalone movie. I felt like it was a little bit overblown. They could have edited some of it out and changed some of the scare tactics to make it more effective. They also could have punched up the story to make it make more sense, rather than just making it kind of like a supernatural, like, I guess, ghost possession? I don't know, kind of movie. And because there were a couple moments where it was a little bit vague, and we even talked about it after the movie, how there were a couple times where we were like, were they just visions, or were they ghosts, or were they zombies? Like, at this point, what exactly was it we were seeing?
We're seeing a movie.
Yeah, like, what kind of scary thing was it there? And so, like, it was fine. But, you know, I didn't feel like it was super effective in any way. It was good enough to... It was what it needed to be, but not nearly what it could have been. Mm-hmm. I think if I had to put a number to it, I'd probably give it like a... Maybe like a 6. 6 out of 10.
So it seems like a good just scary movie.
Yeah.
Esque.
For the first half.
For the first half.
Once you get like... It's like... Because, I mean, it was a 7:50 showing, and we didn't get out till like almost 10:30. So it's longer, too.
Oh, wow.
I don't know exactly how long it is. I didn't check, but it's got to be at least 2 hours. Or at least it felt like at least 2 hours. But I'd say like the first half was pretty good. It was a good setup and a good first few scares. But then after maybe about the hour point, it starts just feeling like, okay, she's showing up again. Now she's showing up again.
And again.
When are they going to explain what's going on? Because they just keep on having her show up and do scary things. And so, like... If you're in it just for, like, the jump scares and seeing the scary movie, like, sure, go give it a spin. But it's not necessarily, like, the most effective or well-written film. So, that's kind of my thought about The Nun.
Okay, well, good for scary for the first half. $5 movie night or...
Sure.
Okay.
Or, like, if you still use Redbox, you can get it as a Redbox. Or, you know, rent it on whatever... device you use, something like that. Save yourself some money.
Well, okay. I think it's time we talk some video game stuff now.
Eh.
Yeah, okay. We can call it early and go home. So, recently... We'll do the Nintendo Direct and then we'll do the reviews. So, okay. Recently, Nintendo just had a Nintendo Direct this past Thursday. It was delayed a week because they had a couple earthquakes up in Japan. So, you know, they were just letting things kind of settle. Mm-hmm. So, a lot was announced. And I didn't write down...
A lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. I didn't write down everything. And some of it we could probably just go over real quick. But I think for both of us, the biggest thing that they announced is Luigi's Mansion 3 is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. Supposedly sometime in 2019. My guess is that's going to be like one of their holiday titles, October, November. So I'm excited for it. I played the GameCube one, loved it. I played Dark Moon on the 3DS, loved it. So this is just right up my alley to have it on the Switch.
No, super excited.
That's going to be a huge one. Not a lot of details released about it. You know, they didn't really show like any true gameplay. You know, they showed like a cinematic trailer for it. And that was about it, which is fine. You know, it's more than we got for Metroid Prime 4. But anyway.
I want them to announce another, like, double pack like they did with Bayonetta. Of Luigi's Mansion and Dark Moon. I want to eventually get those two for Switch.
Even if they don't do it physically. Like, I believe October 12th, they're re-releasing the original Luigi's Mansion for the 3DS. Mm-hmm. But even if they could just port those over to the Switch and just download them, that would be... I'd even do that.
Yeah.
So, we got that coming. We'll go back to this one, because that one's kind of a big one. So, they also announced, because, you know, it's Nintendo, and, you know, the Switch isn't selling well enough by itself, is they're coming out with a Super Smash Bros. Bundle. It's mm-hmm. $360, comes out November 2nd.
A few of those. They announced that one. They also announced...
the Pokemon
Let's Go bundles. Eevee, yeah.
So the difference, though, with this Smash Brothers, from what I can understand, and I couldn't hear back from the sources, is this bundle comes out on November 2nd or 3rd, I want to say. But everyone was thinking, oh my god, I could buy this bundle and I can play Smash Brothers a month plus early. From what I can understand is you get the bundle and then you get the download code for Smash Brothers because, you know, you can't throw a fucking... There you go. Can't throw a cartridge in there, a little tiny cartridge. But that code will be available... You're going to beat that one out. That code will be available December 7th, so you can kind of pre-download it and then let it go on December 7th. So, the bundle actually looks nice. Like, right on the dock, it's going to have the original 8 characters from the original Smash Brothers on the Nintendo 64, and then the Joy-Cons are going to have kind of like the little, whatever you want to call it, cross, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, that's going to be kind of cool, I think. So, thanks, Nintendo, for more bundles. We'll go back to those two because those two kind of go near the end. Game Freak, who does the Pokemon games, they didn't really show a whole lot of it, but they are making a new RPG called Town. It's just a working title. It could very mm-hmm. well become what it is.
It does look cool, though.
It looks very interesting, and I want to see what they could do with something like this, because everybody knows Game Freak just knows they do Pokemon.
It kind of looks like really big Pokemon. It's basically like Pokemon are invading a town, except they're giant monsters instead of pocket monsters.
Yes. So, with what they're doing here, you know, like, Game Freak is always known for doing Pokemon. Like I said, you know, they are working on Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, which, you know, we're recording this September 16th, so 2 months away from that being done, which usually, if it comes out November 16th, it's probably in its last month of development, yeah. And then they take another month to just kind of, you know, print the cartridges and everything and blast them out. So probably about a month for that. They are working on, that will also be out for next year, is a core Pokemon RPG, or a core Pokemon game, which will probably come after the Sun and Moon for the Switch. So that's going to be interesting to see how they kind of bundle that. But I'm interested in seeing this, and I'm going to get to something near the end because of everything that's coming out next year. Because so far, and I know anything can change, Town is going to be out next year. Mm-hmm. Luigi's Mansion 3 is going to be out next year. Mm-hmm. Yoshi's Crafted World, they announced the official title for that. That's going to be out next year. This next one is just a port, but it's kind of cool because, you know, nobody bought the Wii U. Is new Super Mario Bros. U and new Super Luigi U Deluxe is going to be coming out actually on a very special day for both of us. You don't know what day it comes out, do you?
No, it's January 11th.
Yes. So
I thought you were going to say it.
That's why I'm sitting here looking at you as you're looking at the camera.
It comes out on Haven and mine's wedding day and Mike's birthday.
Exactly. So that's going to be the only anniversary I'm ever going to remember is theirs. That's all there is to it. no matter who else I meet in life, I'll probably remember their anniversaries more than my own whenever I find somebody, just being honest. So that's kind of interesting to see that come out, because I actually never played New Super Luigi U. So getting this as a bundle, and then I could just say, hey, Mom and Dad, this went out for my birthday.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? So before we get to two more of the big ones.
They basically announced half of the Final Fantasy library.
I don't know what happened behind the scenes. Square and Nintendo obviously kissed and made up big time. Maybe there was some other things going on. So I'm just going to read this off.
So, well, let me see. Okay, let me. I think I can remember this.
Okay.
Crystal Chronicles is already announced. That was one they were working on. That was one that was very clearly coming out for the Switch.
Remastered.
Yes. It's a remastered version, but they had talked about Crystal Chronicles. We all knew that was happening.
Yes.
They also said Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition,
yes,
which is already out.
It is already out.
That one came out like the day they announced it, I think.
Yes.
But that wasn't like a Switch thing. That was like everything. They announced it for Switch that day, but it also came out like for Xbox and PS4 and all that, I believe, if I'm remembering right. They basically just said, we're announcing it for Switch today, but it's also out for everything today.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy IX, which are not remastered. They're just like the ports that you got like for like the PlayStation Network and stuff. 10 and 10-2, the remasters that we got a couple years ago for PS3 and then again for PS4. And then the remastered version of 12, the Zodiac Age.
My version of
12. That came out for PS4 last year as well. Was that all of them? There were six, right?
No, there's two more. You forgot World of Final Fantasy Maxima.
World of Final Fantasy, yes.
That one's
coming. And I liked that one a lot. I did play that one on PS4. I've played most of them already.
So that's definitely coming, as well as Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon Everybody is also coming to Switch.
I have not played Chocobo Mystery Dungeon, and I have also, what was the other one? Pocket. I haven't finished Final Fantasy 15 Pocket.
Yeah, that was one of them.
It's a fun little diversion. Like, it's fun for what it is, but, you know, if you've played Final Fantasy 15.
So, yeah, Nintendo and Square obviously kissed and made up big time. So we'll see if that means that maybe we can get a port of Final Fantasy 15 over to the Switch later. Does that mean Final Fantasy 15-2?
I would not be surprised to see Final Fantasy 15 as part of, like, that streaming service that they're doing.
You know, I could see that. And then, honestly, like, I think one of the big things, I believe Octopath is made by Square. and that's exclusive. Yeah. So Square must have seen, wow, Octopath is selling super well. Here's everything else for you, Nintendo, yeah. Which is great, because someone like me, you know, I never really had a PlayStation once back in the day, so getting to sit down and play Final Fantasy VII, and I know 10 and 10 2 are really good, and I know nine's up there, but 7
nine,
would be...
9 is, like, my favorite.
So 7 is going to be something I'm very interested in, and I believe it was for Zodiac Age that they have, like, a fast... I don't want to say a fast pass, but... It allows you to kind of run faster to get to a different area faster.
On PS4, it was I think it was like R1, if I remember right, that would let you basically just speed it up. So if you weren't in combat, you could run faster. If you were in combat, it would just speed up animations, things like that, to kind of like keep the game from being as much of a slog. Because Final Fantasy XII was a very, like, grind-heavy title.
Yes.
And so, and there was also, one of the big systems in there was you could build up stats just by, like, running around. Mm-hmm. And so there was a trick that people learned where they would take rubber bands and rubber band their joysticks together so that they would run around in circles forever. And they would just, like, leave their PS2s running and run in circles, like, all day long to, like, build up their stats. And I think they're trying to cut down on, like, that grind time and stat building time by giving you, like, a double time mechanic.
So that's interesting, especially for someone like me. And that's what got me back into the Pokemon series for X and Y, is with the experience share, it went to everybody in your party and not just your Pokemon that you're battling plus the one wearing it. So that kind of really helped cut down on the grinding. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, there's two more that we want to talk about for the Direct. One of the two characters that people really wanted in Smash Brothers officially got announced, one of them being from Animal Crossing, that is Isabelle. So she's kind of like the mascot for Animal Crossing nowadays, her and Tom Nook. So very good to see her in there. I know a lot of people are happy, so now we're just all got our fingers crossed for Waluigi, which could still happen. You know, if they take him out as an assist trophy and put him in as a character, you never know. Mm-hmm. And then right afterwards... it was announced that everyone is happy about this. I'm thrilled for this. Is there's a new Animal Crossing game coming out for the Switch. It doesn't have a title, just says Animal Crossing, and this is 2019. So for me, I might even just download that one. I might not even buy it physically, because that is one of those games. You know, we were kind of talking a couple days ago about how, you know, it's one of those things where you can kind of boot up real fast if you go to a different, kind of like Pokemon Go, if you will. You know, so that way if you're playing like a Mario Kart and you're away. Instead of switching it out, you can be like, oh, let me pause Mario Kart, boot up, Animal Crossing, you know, I'm in a new town, check in, do whatever you need to do. So I'm excited for that one.
I think that one will be really good. And
Nintendo is listening to us somewhat.
I've been kind of leaning more into, like, digital games recently as time goes on, mostly with the Switch, just because of the portability of it.
Yes.
But mine basically comes down to, like, priorities. So, like, my big RPGs and things like that, the ones that I, you know, I kind of get in, like, collector mode, and I get, like, my physical copies. So, you know, like, my big ones that I own are, like, Legend of Zelda, Octopath Traveler, Ys 8, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, stuff like that. But then, like, digitally, you know, I've got games like, I got the Bayonetta collection digitally. Mm-hmm. I got Mario Kart, I believe, digitally.
And Mario Tennis.
Mario Tennis, I actually got a physical copy because I was able to get it for, like, half price.
Oh, okay.
Mario Tennis was digital, wasn't it?
Yeah, because that came over and you had it booted up and ready.
Yeah, no, that was... Oh, it was Mario plus Rabbids.
Yeah.
I got on sale. But anyway, games like the Outlast. Mm-hmm. I've got Outlast digitally, stuff like that, that I buy just to kind of play wherever. Because that way I don't have to keep swapping out cartridges or make sure I have the cartridges with me. I like, especially for a system like the Switch, I kind of like having my digital library so I can just pick it up and go without worrying too much about, like, do I have all my games?
Yes, so...
And I've been doing the same thing. I just got the Xbox One X last weekend, 2 weekends ago, something like that, because I was working on an Xbox project that didn't really pan out. But I'll upload a video. I was going to show you guys... So if you're interested, if you listen, if you want to hop on our channel, at some point, I'm going to try to get the time-lapse video up of me working on that project, which was technically a success in the fact that it worked, but it didn't look the way I wanted. So I ended up ditching it and just rebuilding the Xbox One X. But the point being, I've got Game Pass on there. And that comes like over 100 games. And it's kind of made like actually buying physical games obsolete because they give me like all these games and I can just download them and play them whenever I want. And I love that.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. So don't you dare.
What?
I go to take a drink and you're getting all silent over there. Just like, I'm not ready for you this time. I'm ready for you this time. Oh, wait. So all that obviously is looking good. But my one question is going to be this, which I think is going to be somewhat answered already, is back in the first E3 with the Switch, is Nintendo announced that Metroid Prime 4 is in development. Didn't get a showing at this year's E3. Now we have this Direct. Yoshi's Woolly... Yoshi's whatever I said it was. Yoshi's Crafted World. Luigi's Mansion 3. Animal Crossing. Those are three major hitters. Mm-hmm. I think one of them, if I had to take a shot in the dark, I would say that Yoshi's Crafted World is going to be kind of the spring release for them. They always seem to do that. Mm-hmm. And then Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing could be a holiday-ish title. Plus, you got the Mario Deluxe that's going to sell a bajillion copies coming out in January. So, I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say Metroid Prime 4 is not coming out next year. We might see it in 2020.
Yeah.
So, that kind of sucks. But, at least Nintendo's giving us a lot of other things that we're looking forward to right away. You know, they're giving us the Animal Crossing that we wanted. They're giving us Luigi's Mansion that we wanted. Mm-hmm. So, I guess if they need to take some extra time to perfect and craft a game like Metroid Prime, we can deal with that one.
Yeah.
So, we've got one game review, because both of us beat it. One that I'm just going to mention real quick. I just want to get it out of the way, because Tyler, you haven't played it yet. Mm-hmm. And that is Shadow of the Tomb Raider recently came out this past week, and I love it so far. I'm only an hour, 2 hours in, so I can't really go too in-depth. But this is the final game of the trilogy, the prequel trilogy, to really cement or see where the series can go from there. And so far, the story's like hooked me in right away. The graphics look amazing. Gameplay is amazing. The atmosphere is amazing. So I look forward to really sitting down and playing that out for the rest of September, finishing that. As we get in October, November, it's a lot more stuff is coming.
Yeah, and I'm excited to play it and get into it. Yes. I'm going to wait probably a couple of weeks till we get paid again.
Yes.
To make that one happen. But,
No, this game, like, you know, I love the other two, but this one, even early reviews, I haven't read the reviews, I just read, like, the little quirk at the top, so this could be the best one yet.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that. I love Tomb Raider. It's one of my favorite series of all times, and I'll review it later, probably in the next show. But we got one big game to talk about that recently came out.
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony, kart racing for the Nintendo 64, and also Sega Genesis. But no, we're going to talk about Spider-Man. For a few minutes.
Or a lot of minutes.
So, both of us beat it. You platinum it. I beat it.
I did platinum for this one.
I want to just talk about one Easter egg that I didn't find, but a user posted that I thought was an absolute great tribute to America, since it takes place in New York City. I don't know where exactly it was at, because they didn't say in the video, and it didn't show in the comments. I don't know if you know if you saw this.
You would have to tell me what it is.
I will definitely tell you what it is. It was near Avengers Tower, but it was Spider-Man running up one of the walls that was all glass, and then you see something in the glass. No, this is nothing bad. This is actually really cool. And it's a reflection, actually, of the Twin Towers in the glass.
Really?
It is. So you see him running up the wall. I know if you're listening to this, you can't see what I'm doing. But in the reflection, you see the Twin Towers, and if you turn around, you just see regular buildings. You don't see the towers there.
Huh.
So I thought that was one of the coolest cameos or coolest Easter eggs, whatever you want to call it, in the entire world.
Yeah.
So that major props to Insomniac for that one. And they also threw in a little bit for the LGBTQ community in there. There's a place that has the flags flying around.
Yeah, there's like it's actually one of the landmarks.
It is.
One of the places you go take a photo of.
Yes, absolutely it is.
But no, I hadn't heard about that. That's really cool.
Yeah, so if I find the video, I'll send it to you again. But I thought that was amazing. Story-wise, absolutely amazing. Characters, everything. You know, the one small gripe that I have, although it worked, is when you... And this is going to be non-spoiler. I'm going to talk a little bit about the gameplay of it, but I'm not going to spoil the story. Is you take control of both Mary Jane and Miles at different parts to do things, and it kind of takes away from the action of it in the terms of, you know, your Spider-Man flying around, the web slinging. I've never had so much fun slinging around. Mm-hmm. I normally just let me beat the story mode because I've got other things I need to do, other things I want to play. I found myself swinging around New York City just to do other side missions just because I wasn't ready to finish swinging around New York City. But when you play as Miles and Mary Jane, both of them kind of were the same thing. They were sneak and stealth type of missions. So they weren't even really different. Mm-hmm. It was just, okay, I'm going to stealth with Mary Jane, then I'm going to stealth with Miles. And it didn't happen a lot, and it the way it was placed, it worked because it didn't really stop a main gameplay thing.
Also, spoiler alert, Miles and Mary Jane are in this game.
Yes.
If you haven't played it yet.
But I'm pretty sure people knew that they were in the game.
Yeah. Anyway.
I won't spoil another amazing Easter egg with an amazing cameo, which I absolutely loved. I was like, oh! But the story itself started with, maybe they don't know. I don't want to say who it started. It didn't start with a character that you would expect. And then when you finish him off, then more go on. And you kind of get a feeling something's going to happen near the end of the game. And after the final battle, which I actually hear that if you platinum it, you have a different end scene than the regular. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. So you might not. We'll have to talk about it later because we can't talk and spoil it now. I should have mentioned that to you before.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. So we'll have to see if that's a thing or not.
So at the end of the game, obviously, there's going to be a sequel. There's no doubt there's going to be a sequel to this game. Not just because it sold gangbusters, mm-hmm. but because of how it ended. There is going to be a sequel.
A buddy of mine, Justin, actually sent me a video where they were talking about Spider-Man. And one of the guys, I don't know who it was, whether it was like one of the developers, you know, I'm assuming somebody that worked on it in some capacity. Mm-hmm. They were sitting there talking about it. And he said, like, you know, he mentioned in Spider-Man 1, and then he was like, in this Spider-Man, I mean. And everybody was like, oh, well, you know, if it wasn't confirmed before, he basically just said that this is the first one.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I mean, I'm definitely fine with the sequel, because there's more that they can do. I mean, they stopped. I mean, you see in the trailers that the Sinister Six is there, for sure. And in the second one, they're still kind of dealing with some main-esque villains. And not all the villains were there. I mean, it was kind of... They kind of teased... I don't want to say they teased it in one of the scenes, like the party scene when Peter's looking for someone at a Halloween dance. There were some villains there that were not in the game, so that could be something for later. But a couple of the main villains are still going to be around. And there's a whole lot to do, a whole lot to collect. And I honestly, I love the game. You know, normally I'll sit here and say, yeah, it was good, you know, but wait till it gets at 30, 40. Go buy it now. I mean, it was a blast. It was an absolute blast. Insomniac nailed it. You know, the only change I'd really like to see, if possible, is doing something with those stealth kind of missions with Mary Jane and Miles.
And that was something that kind of bugged me, too. Yeah. Like, it's a small gripe in an otherwise amazing game.
It really was. I mean,
but it was also, it just felt super obvious. Because it was one of those where, you know, in most of the missions, you could tell that they were Spider-Man missions. But in the missions where there was going to be stealth, it was basically like you would see like Miles or Mary Jane show up and you'd be like, oh man, this is going to be another stealth mission. And then sure enough, you know, like a minute or two later, it would transition into like the gameplay. Like it would go from cutscene to gameplay and you'd be playing as Mary Jane and it would start off with you like hiding behind a box or mm-hmm. Miles hiding behind a car or something like that. And they're not even like that short on segments. They pop up pretty frequently, and some of them go on for a good, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. And to me, that's just one of those things. Again, it's a very small gripe, I think, for both of us. That's the one thing we're going to agree on. Or I think we agree on all of it, but, you know, in terms of things we didn't like, is I want to see it change. Like, I hate to compare it to a masterpiece that was The Last of Us. But, you know, if you haven't played Last of Us by now, this shouldn't be a spoiler that you should know. There is a part in it where you play as young Ellie that kind of takes away from the whole gameplay mm-hmm. because she can't do as much as Joel. Yeah. Which is one of those things, like, with Mary Jane. And
there's also, like, a difficulty spike there. In that part of the game, being they take away your abilities and you're playing as young Ellie, there's, like, it's this weird segment that's, like, really, like, it's The Last of Us wasn't necessarily like a cakewalk or anything, you know, but it was like strangely difficult for where you were at in the game.
It really was. And, you know, and honestly, the stealth missions weren't that terribly difficult, but it was a lot of still two of the same things where, you know, you knock over a toolbox to distract the guard to get around, or, you know, Mary Jane's got like the beepers to throw to distract guards to run by them.
Yeah.
But if you want to have stealth in the game, that's fine, because there's plenty of missions in Spider-Man where you can do things stealthily, and you kind of actually need to do them stealthily.
And there is also, so, I think, one thing that kind of, and maybe this shouldn't bug me, I guess, because if anything, it made it easy, mm-hmm. but I kind of didn't like that the stealth missions were as easy as they were. I feel like there wasn't necessarily any sort of challenge or anything to them either. It was in a game that is just dotted with amazing Easter eggs and gameplay elements and just like so many good systems all in this game.
Yes.
It stuck out like a sore thumb that there were all these stealth segments that were also so basic and easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was as simple as, you know, there's a pathway to the left and a pathway to the right. If you knock over the toolbox to the left, you take the right path, or vice versa. And then you would move on to the next thing where you would, like, you know, knock over something, or, you know, turn on a radio or something instead. And then you'd, you know, take the path that the bad guy isn't taking. And it felt so rudimentary in this game that does so many things so well. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And even on top of that, the checkpoints were so forgiving. There were times where I got bored and I tried to rush through and I would get caught, but then I would get far enough in the, you know, like down this hallway or around a guard or something like that, that the location of it counted me as still succeeding. So even though I got caught when I reloaded, I would still be further than I was when I got caught, because the checkpoint would count me as having made it there, even though I got caught like halfway there. So it was like, as much, you know, I loved everything about the game, and then these stealth things came up and it was just so easy and basic and rudimentary that it stuck out a lot.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's really the only thing we're going to disagree or agree on for what we didn't like. But in terms of the actual story itself, you know, maybe a little bit near the end it got rushed, because at the first part of the game you are dealing with just one, and then you go to the Sinister Six essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which, again, I think we can get away with saying that, because they showed the Sinister Six.
Yeah, it was in the trailer.
In the trailers,
you don't see all of them,
all that,
which we're not going to say. You know,
yeah.
There's still one character that was missing that we're not going to talk about. But in terms of something like that, I think they could do something a little different with the next one. Obviously, I very much enjoyed the story. It set up very, very well for Spider-Man 2, or if they call it something else, mm-hmm. which I don't know, it was called Spider-Man 2. That, you know, they have a masterpiece on their hands. And
yeah.
The game is definitely long. I mean, there were times where I thought, okay, I'm going to be done in like an hour.
I was super worried, because the first day I went and I started just doing all the collectibles.
Yep.
I ran off and I started like getting backpacks and doing landmarks and things like that. And like the first day when I shut off my PS4, it already said like 28% or something like that.
Mm.
And I was like, well, this game's going to be over in like 2 days. That's super disappointing. It's going to be like an 8-hour game. But then it just like stopped. I don't know how they track their percentage complete. That one kind of confused me, because like I said, the first day I did like maybe 3 story missions and then I just ran off doing collectibles and it said I was almost 30% done. But then there were days where I would sit there for like 8 hours doing collectibles and things, and I would go from like 44 to 46. So I don't know how exactly it tracks its like progress bar, or how it tracks like how far in the game you really are. But it is deceptively long whenever you're looking at your like percentage complete.
Well, I think I might have an answer for that one, actually, Tyler, is that when you first start the game, you know, obviously you're going to have different side missions that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go through the game and you see new things going on, like finding the backpacks and whatnot, but later on, then you're going to realize, oh, this happened, now I gotta stop this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe saying when you start you got this much to do to stop, but then as you progress through the game and you unlock more and more,
yeah.
That's why it's getting so long.
Mm-hmm.
But even for me, you know, yes, I've done some side missions, I've activated some of the beacons and whatnot, and none of this is a spoiler, you know, story-wise at least. But you know, there was, I think, you know, so when it came out, then I played it for a few hours during the week, and then on the weekend I played it for hours. And then I remember last Sunday, I was like, all right, I'm going to finish this up. I went and watched the game. I got home right around 7. I booted it up at 7:30. And before I knew it, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was still playing the story. So I was like, it's got to end. I had to shut it off. And then I finished it last Monday. thankfully. I finished it on Monday so I could make sure to be able to talk about it today. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely just a story mode side by itself. It's very long. And yeah, I died a few times, so you got to factor that in and going back, you know. And, you know, again, the checkpoints itself weren't too bad. So it's like, if I died here, then I would start like right here again. If you're listening to us, you have no idea what I'm doing, but if you're watching us and you'll understand.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I had to restart an entire level or whatnot. You know, there's been, you know, the final boss, I died, you know, once or twice, so I had to start that all over again. But I mean, it wasn't like anything too eh. I will say, once in a while, I don't know if this could just be me in the midst of battle, where I'd be web-slinging around, and then I would hit a building, and I'd try to jump off the building, and he won't jump off the building, and then it's like, just come on, do something, do, jump, jump, you're getting hit, you're getting... Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, I'm getting hit left, right, and center with guns or whatever. So that's kind of an end. But again, that was such a minor thing. It's not like it broke the entire game. Mm-hmm. And by then, I had enough health where I could, even though I didn't want to use it, because I have 50 enemies that are trying to take me out, I was able to kind of revive myself and go and knock out a bunch of guys and, you know, get the stamina back that I needed again.
But no, I think besides the stealth missions, everything else is just almost perfect.
It really is.
The story is amazing. The music is outstanding.
All of it is.
The music is like, that was one thing that I had mentioned a few times to different people. Like, it's so evocative of like classic Spider-Man, but it also feels really modern. It has almost like an Avengers sound to it. So it kind of has like that almost like a Homecoming sound to like this like swelling orchestral soundtrack. But at the same time, it definitely feels like distinctly Spider-Man to me.
It really does. And, you know, obviously the graphics look great. The mm-hmm. actors that they got to portray Spider-Man and Miles and Mary Jane and Aunt May all are fantastic. Mm-hmm. There's so much to do in this game.
I'm not actually too proud to admit that this game kind of, like, consumed my life.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, no, I'm not saying, like, even in a good way. Like, I loved this game, and it almost got to, like, an unhealthy level. Like, I was losing sleep, and I would forget to eat. Like, I started, like, skipping meals just so I would have an extra, like, 45 minutes to play, to the point that Haven, like, started getting kind of frustrated with me. Because I would just, like, come home and boot it up, and that's, like, all I would do. And by the time, once I got to about like 85 or 90%, mm-hmm. it was one of those where we were like, Haven and I had both been sitting there talking about like, maybe I need to step back and not play this game for a little bit, because it's become like, just like such a like obsession for me. But at that point I was like, I'm at like 90%. If I take like one more day and just do it, mm-hmm. it'll be done. And I can just like step back completely and be like, I've done everything there is to do. And so I did, and I got the platinum, and that was on Saturday. It was Friday night, but it was technically Saturday morning. I got the platinum at midnight. My platinum trophy says 12:01 a.m.
Hey, you still got it though. So yeah, that's all that matters. So, guys, honestly, this game is definitely a masterpiece. It's got a lot of the vibes of the Batman Arkham series, which I very much enjoyed. So it's how these superhero games should be done. And I think it could open up maybe for some other, like if they could do an Avengers game that way, but, or, you know, if they don't want to combine all the Avengers into one game, you know, maybe, you know, Captain America is staring right here, is my favorite of all of them. Do an Iron Man standalone game. Anything like that. I think this opens up a lot more doors for these type of games to come out.
Yeah.
Because at least it's something different. You know, a lot of times now with games, every holiday you get the same ones. You get Assassin's Creed, which again, you know what I mean, is bad. These games are bad.
And they started revamping them. I didn't play Odyssey or Origins. Mm-hmm. Origins was the last one, right? Odyssey's the one that's coming up.
Yes.
I didn't play Origins, but I heard that that one was like a super cool, like open world RPG kind of game rather than just another Assassin's Creed. And so I've heard that they're kind of like revamping it and making them like good and unique again, rather than just a yearly cash in. So that's pretty cool.
And that's something that I think that you're going to see a little more and more, is a game like this trickling out, where, you know, a lot of people, I still get all my stuff from GameStop. You know, I like to support them. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of people like to bash them. When I was talking to them, you know, they said stuff, reserves for, you know, the Madden games, the NBA games, Call of Duty. It says all of those are down, but Spider-Man was still up there, you know, 200 to 300 reserves. especially that's impressive just on one console and on the day and age that we live in. Yeah. But it's also something new. You know, we're not going to have a new Spider-Man game every year, mm-hmm. which
hopefully. Insomniac is really good. I can't.
Yeah,
see them
they're not going to rush out the next one.
Yeah,
it's going to be another 2 to 3 years before we get the next one. It might even be on the PS5. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But you know, I think for something like this is that it was impressive to get something different. And I very much enjoyed the game. You know, I'll give it a solid 9 out of 10, honestly, and definitely would recommend. Any PS4 owner should have this game in their collection.
I was honestly thinking of giving this one a 10 out of 10. This is one of those rare games where I'm like, I can't ask for much more out of a game. I loved this game.
I think the only reason why I couldn't give it a 10 is just because of the stealth missions.
The stealth missions were not enough to even, like, sway me.
That was just it.
It was a minor enough complaint for me that I was like, just everything about this game was so good. I could not have asked for anything more.
Maybe if it was just like one mission each of stealth, I could be like, okay, but because it was not.
It happened frequently enough for you.
It happened frequently. I mean, it's not like it was half Spider-Man and then the other half were stealth.
Right.
But it was still enough to be like, okay, come on. You know, because a lot of times, too, you know, you would run Spider-Man and Mary Jane, and then Spider-Man would be like, what happened? And Mary Jane will be like, well, and then it'll cut to a flashback, and the flashback will just say 15 minutes earlier. And it's like, you just couldn't give us a quick cutscene or a dialogue line for that. I don't need to play this.
But I will say, there's one mission where you're in, like, a subway terminal.
Yes.
And it's both of them. It's like, You're doing stealth with Mary Jane, but the whole time she's communicating with Spider-Man, and then it transitions to Spider-Man, and you're still communicating with Mary Jane, and you're, like, helping each other. The whole thing is done in tandem, where you're, like, bouncing back and forth and helping each other. And I liked that. I thought that was a really good way to integrate, like, the Mary Jane stealth stuff, but also, like, have, like, the fun Spider-Man stuff in there. It felt like it worked really well into the story without it just being, like, a tacked-on stealth mission.
Absolutely. So, I think that's all my thoughts of it. I don't know if you have anything quick else you want to add. We still got that one thing to talk about.
I could just, you know, keep saying how much I love the game, but I think you guys...
We already know.
Yeah, so. you figured that out at this point. It doesn't get much better than this game. No. Like I said, it became like a borderline obsession. Like, it was almost an unhealthy thing for me after a point. It was really, really good.
Hey, but you know what? You beat it, you platinum it, now you can go back to spending time with your lovely wife.
Until October, when the DLC comes out.
That's true. Because, yeah, you get yeah, that's be another story. So the last thing we want to talk about, and I already just want to say one thing about it, is, you know, this is our 10th episode. We managed to make it 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. The best memory... I just want to talk about this one memory, and then I'll be done, I think.
Okay.
Is that, you know, when I first started thinking about this, because I thought about this a long time, even before I asked you if you wanted to do it, is that, you know, I've always knew that if I did do something like this, I always wanted you to be, you know, the podcast partner.
Aww.
I always knew.
Gee whiz, babe.
And essentially, I popped the question, and for whatever reason, you said yes. And, you know, I think back to our first episode, it was pretty much Deadpool 2 and Avengers. And, you know, we were kind of still tripping over each other a little bit. I mean, this is perfect now.
This is, like, that was back in May. That was right after Infinity War came out. We've been doing this, what, 4 or 5 months now?
Yeah, which to me is impressive because, you know, we've kept our schedules to doing it, you know, adjusted it as need be.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the best memory I have is just sitting down and doing it. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, shout out to my teacher friend Christy again. She invited me over to her class of seniors to talk about, you know, being an entrepreneur, doing things that you love, you know, guys and girls that are getting ready to go to college. And I told them, you know, there's times that we put up a show or put up an episode and we don't really get any views or likes, but it's not just about doing it for people to, okay, well, here's a new episode, here's, you know, 100,000 views in, you know, a week.
Yeah.
But it's just about doing it and enjoying it, because it's going to be that one episode that could just really take off and then get people to start watching you. And, you know, you can't get discouraged if you put out, you know, 4 or 5 things and get little to nothing, you know. So.
And two, I think the most important thing to me is that, like, at the end of the day, who cares?
That's very true.
I mean, I love all you guys, and if we get more listeners, more viewers, that's going to be amazing. I would love to have an audience. But at the end of the day, the most important thing to me is this is our excuse to get together and hang out.
There are times,
before we did the podcast, we would try to get together, and we would always have good intentions, but things always came up. There were always schedules. We were always busy. You know, things happen, and it's like, that's life. And it's like, we would text back and forth, or we'd, like, send each other things on Facebook and stuff like that. We would always mess with each other, but there would be periods where we wouldn't get together for, like, 2 months or something, Absolutely. And we would just kind of go for a while and then be like, dude, we need to like go see a movie or go out to dinner or something. It's been forever. And I feel like since we started doing this, this is like one of those things that like at the end of the day, I just love doing it because it's just, it's my time where I know that you and I can come and just like sit for a while and talk and just like hang out for a while, you know? So at the end of the day, if we never get an audience, this is still our time to just chill and be us.
Absolutely. And again, as we've mentioned before many times on the show, is that when we do this podcast, this is essentially how we were when we did get together. We called each other, text each other. We just talk about the games and movies and what else is going on and different things. And now we just put it out in front of people because we think we're somewhat entertaining. And, you know, I mean, obviously
We might be the only ones that
But, you know, a lot of people that do watch us or do know us, you know, this is exactly how we are. This is exactly what we do. And just being able to put this out there. And yeah, everybody's doing podcasts now, but a lot of them do drop off because people will do a couple episodes where they're like, well, I'm not getting anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially, like I said, we're not doing this as a job or to get famous or to get rich or anything. We're doing this is because this is what we normally do. We're now just sitting in front of a computer in a very small room.
Hopefully a bigger room soon.
And just talking about the same thing. And that to me is really the best thing about it, you know, and obviously, you know, we'll keep doing it as long as we can, as long as schedules can, and just kind of go from there. So here's to another 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So
congratulations to us.
Congratulations to us. Yeah, I should do a little golf clap or whatever it is, you know, do Albus Dumbledore clap. So anyway, guys, that is episode 10. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode coming at you.
Unless we just stop here.
Yeah, this is it. We're done.
We did 10 episodes. You know, we don't have a million viewers, so, you know, we're screw done. All you guys.
Yeah, you know, summer stuff. We'll be back in 2 weeks, making sure it's good. And guys, thank you again so much for watching. Please comment, like, subscribe. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. Download us on iTunes. Where else are we? Help me out.
Google Play Music.
Google Play.
Spotify. Podomatic. YouTube.
You know, anywhere you could possibly find our bright smiling faces. I've got to go. I've got a football game to watch. As the new acting president, I have president in my title. That is the coolest thing in the world to me. And, so, guys, thank you so much for watching. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
See ya.